This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. The San Quentin Prison Report is a partnership between KALW and the prison that trains inmates to be journalists. A more conventional route to that goal is often journalism school. Here in the Bay Area, we have one of the country's most prestigious, the University of California, Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. It's not cheap. It's over $15,000 a year for California residents and twice that for out-of-state students. And last month, the Board of Regents made it even more expensive, charging an extra $7,500 per year. Ed Wasserman is dean of the J School, and he recommended an even higher fee to teach the wide variety of skills journalists need today. As part of our series on the state of the media, KALW's Ben Trevney asked him exactly why Berkeley needed more money to cover the costs.
Listen, we looked at our numbers and said, we're in deficit now, we can't continue to do this. The Regents had forbidden us. Well, let me just back up a little bit. Just about all of the graduate professional schools at Cal have this supplementary fee. The only ones who didn't were us and the School of Education. There were 15 programs, and 13 of them had these fees and have for some time. Haas, the business school, has a very, very high fee. The law school has a very high fee. And schools, even like the School of Social Work, has a fee of its own. The School of Journalism had never – this had come up in 2010, and the faculty voted it down. They thought it was outrageous to try to add anything to the cost of education at a time when journalism was suffering for want of opportunities. What had happened in the meantime is the state of California had continued to fund the university at one level. Our costs continued to rise. And we were running farther and farther behind with the expectation always we'd find private philanthropy to make up the difference. We're continuing to do that. But, realistically, looking at it, we simply decided that students weren't paying enough. And by the way, a third of that money goes into financial aid.
Well, when you have the realities of financial concerns like you're talking about, I mean, even just to operate the program, it requires a different level of income, essentially, that has to be found someplace. I think that that's actually indicative of journalism on the whole, where to have quality journalism, it's going to require certain resources. But as we said, journalism doesn't pay all that much compared to some of these other fields, like becoming a business person or a lawyer, for example.
No.
And so where do you think that then means journalism is heading at this point as far as being a revenue generator and sustainable enterprise?
I think that's a terrific question. And the answer, unfortunately, is not a very encouraging one, because what I see is the sources of income for journalism, the sources of revenue for journalism are getting increasingly muddied and contaminated by money that's flowing in for something that very much resembles journalism, but it's clearly motivated by a desire to get certain messages out. And so you're getting this so-called native advertising. You're getting companies that are generating something that looks very much like journalism and making it available to news organizations as part of their informational flow, but in fact is artfully concealed messages meant to promote the interests of the people doing the providing the money. I think this is a huge problem. You're seeing it really across the board in social media, and you're seeing it increasingly in a flow of messages or things that look like articles and have little tiny disclaimers saying sponsored content, but are styled and presented and designed in order to basically beguile and conceal the nature of the financial support that's behind it. So in other words, we've got a lot more, I think, corruption, what I would call corruption, of the news process with information that's very much like news and may only be a few degrees off news, but is in fact part of a larger corporate public relations mission that more and more entities in the economy are seeing as a way to supplant traditional public relations, which was giving information to reporters and hoping they make use of it, and going directly to audiences with carefully engineered messages that look like topical information, look like credible news, but in fact, that's not what they're there for. So I think to answer your question, the nature of the financial support, the most dynamic areas of financial support for the news business are areas where the possibility of corruption is almost irresistible.
So speaking from an ideal perspective then, what would be the solution to that?
I think people have to pay for the information they consume. And let me back up. I think people do pay for the information they consume, but right now they pay in very furtive ways that are concealed. They pay in the price of goods and services, and increasingly they pay with information they are surrendering about themselves. And having supposedly consented to it through signing agreements that they haven't read and wouldn't understand if they had read them. So really the model of the internet that's out there now is one where you pay for information with information. You allow people to gather stuff, information about you. In exchange, they give you information that you think you're interested in. So going back to my initial point, I would rather have a nice, clean situation, borrowed from cable TV. You pay a cable bill at the beginning of the month, and for the most part, you're receiving, well, it used to be, you would be receiving information, programming and the like, and the money you were paying would be farmed out to the providers of that programming, and they'd make money from it. I would like to see a situation where I could pay a monthly bill and get information from people who are not then tracking me and not then helping themselves with information that they inferred from things that I was doing and weren't reading my emails and weren't tracking where I went and what I did when I was there. And maybe have a two-tier model. People who don't mind being tracked get information without paying cash, and people who do mind being tracked aren't tracked, and instead they pay some money at the beginning of the month that goes to the information providers. So I guess what I'm saying, the cleanest model of information flows, cleanest model of news would be one where you pay for it. And in avoiding that, we're entering into all kinds of very, I think, disturbing and problematic relationships in which people are basically being spied on or else they're being given information that's being doctored and engineered in a way to compel their sort of command their attention and their respect and their regard for off-screen actors who are pulling their strings.
Well, I like your solution in a lot of ways, and I think that it really actually speaks to reality. I think that you're talking about something, and from your position within the grad school and dealing with budgets, for example, I mean, you have to deal with realities, and so I'm glad that you're bringing the idea of paying for it up. But the concern that I have, of course, and I'm sure you have this too, is that for people who can't afford then to get that same information or get that same information without giving their own information, that puts them in a pickle.
Yes, it does. But right now we're all in that pickle. And they would have to decide as a consumer matter how important it is that they not be tracked. So the market can do some terrific things. It can't guarantee fairness, but at least it can give people a range of knowing choice. It doesn't mean that everybody has the same wherewithal to participate fully in the market, but at least it gives them a range of options. Mm-hmm. And right now, that range of options does not exist.